As a jump shooter, he's in his most vulnerable position when he takes that shot. Now, if you slide up under him, yeah, you already know what's gonna happen.
But the problem with James Harden is he's what I would call a dead-end player, which means that he's so good, he will be the primary ball handler on some team. He will be the primary offensive option on a playoff team. But he's simply not good enough as that guy to win you a championship.
The McGregor side is done. I'm starting to work on the Mayweather side now.
Do you think this fight is being overhyped?
As a sporting event, obviously, because it's not going to be competitive. But as an event itself, not really.
Welcome, welcome, my friends, and thank you for joining the Tribe Council today. Tribe members, today with me is Rich.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Eric.
What's up, y'all?
And I'm Dave Love. We're here for all your tribal needs. We want to say thank you for listening. And we hope you had a good week. There's a couple things that happened this week.
Not too much,
but a little few. So we're going to jump right into the NBA because, you know, that's mostly what it's all about. Because of the NBA playoffs. So, you know, this is a weekly show, so we do have to talk about what happened in the past week. And it was the Spurs versus the Golden State Warriors. And the big thing everybody's talking about after game one was that a dirty play that Zaza Pachulia did on Kawhi Leonard, sticking his foot underneath them when he went up for a jump shot? So, Rich, I'm going to go straight to you. Do you think that was a dirty play?
I believe it was, just because even like the way Greg Popovich said, it was an unnatural closeout. The way he... First of all, he didn't jump up. He just held his hand up. So there was no reason for him even to backtrack into Kawhi's landing space. So I do think, and you got to look at his track record. I mean, he's had dirty plays in the past. So I do think it was intentional, no matter what Zaza says. Of course, he's going to say he didn't mean to do it. But I'm with Pop. I think it was intentional.
Eric.
You know what I'm going to say. Oh, yeah, it was a dirty play. That play was very, very dirty. And it ain't nothing nobody can say that's going to change my mind in regards to that. I mean, let's be honest. You know what I'm saying? First of all, they say it was a two-step closeout with an extra step. That extra step is what did it. You know, I mean, fact of the matter is Golden State did not plan on San Antonio going into their house and punching them in the mouth like they did that first half. San Antonio punched their ass right in the mouth that first half. And I don't care what nobody say, something was said at halftime. I'm not saying it was said directly. You know, I'm not saying it was said directly from, you know, Steve Kerr or Mike Brown or nobody like that. Something indirectly was said in that locker room in regards to taking Kawhi Leonard out. I mean, it could have been something simple like, you know, maybe
a fart.
Or it could have been an eye wink. I'm gonna say an eye wink from Draymond Green to Zaza Pachulia, basically telling him, dog, you know what? You know what needs to be done? Handle that business.
Yeah.
I mean, we know Golden State is a very talented team. I just think it's sad that, you know, with all that talent, they still feel like they need to beat San Antonio. They need an unfair advantage, you know. And so, I mean, it's all good, though. You know what I'm saying? Karma is a bitch. It's going to come back on them.
Okay. Was it a bad play? Yeah, it was a bad play. Was it a dirty play? I guess you kind of could say it, but... we don't know his intent. You might say, well, he intended to do that. I don't know. I don't know what that man's intent was. It's dirty because it was a bad decision. It wasn't a dirty play. It was a bad decision to do that. You know? Sometimes you just lose your footing and not paying attention. I mean, it's like we got to be so careful with everything. And it's like, how much do you have to think to guard somebody? Trust me, everybody who played basketball, including myself, has suffered an injury from this.
I know.
It's
I
just
have.
The way.
I broke
this
my ankle.
It is.
I broke just my ankle before on the same type of play. So
but
I know how
they
it is.
Didn't do it intentionally. It was just it just happens.
Nah, but you know, when a guy go up for a jump shot, you gotta give him room to land. You know? I mean, and if a guy go up for a jump shot, you know exactly where he's gonna come down at. I mean, like I said, it was that two-step closeout, but that extra step he took.
For you to say that, you know, somebody says something, like maybe we should give him a hard foul. Listen, I think we're giving Zaza Pachulia too much credit. I don't think this man is that smart. I mean, when he's a dirty player, okay, his dirty plays is bumping people, you know, physicality, but nothing like this. I think this is just for him to intentionally say, you know what, I'm going to plant my foot right here because I know his foot's going to land. Do you know, I mean, you can't really possibly engage and really know that his foot's going to land right there.
No, but he knew where Kawhi Leonard was going to come down after that jump shot.
I think people are giving him too much credit.
He's not that smart, man. So, you know, go under somebody when they shooting the ball.
Listen, was it a bad decision? Yes. Was it a dirty play?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, it was.
But for you to be like Greg Popovich, okay, people are saying about Bruce Bowen. So when Bruce Bowen was doing this shit, you can ask Vince Carter what he used to do. He did the same thing. You can ask Steve Nash. You can ask, you know, Kobe Bryant.
Hey, you brought
and
up.
And this is Bruce Bowen.
You brought but up wait, Bruce Bowen.
And Bruce Bowen kicking people in the face, and like Draymond Green does. But when Bruce Bowen was doing it, Greg Popovich was like, oh, shucks. You know, that guy, he is so passionate about defense.
It was dirty for him. It's dirty
now. It was working for him.
You know?
So now, 15 years later, he's like, oh, you know, this should be manslaughter. He's comparing it to manslaughter. Are you kidding me? Come on.
The fact that even Bruce Bowen came out and said that was a dirty play. If anybody know about that type of play, it's Bruce Bowen.
But I'm just saying, it was a bad decision. I don't think it was a dirty play.
It was a combination of both, man.
It was just a dirty play
and a very bad decision.
You know what I'm saying? This is a bad decision.
They should have been more careful.
They can't man up and beat San Antonio straight up.
So they needed that unfair advantage. I truly believe it. Man, San Antonio punched their ass in the mouth.
They didn't expect that. It wasn't the game.
They was worried. Okay. They was on the verge of losing. They was on the verge of losing home court advantage. And they panicked.
They didn't panic. Come on, man. That goes right into my follow-up question. Does that play change the game and change the whole series because of that one play?
And yes. Yes. San Antonio was dominating before Kawhi got hurt. You know what I'm saying? Golden State. Not only did they hurt, they take out San Antonio's best offensive player. They took out San Antonio's best defensive player. You mean to tell me that didn't make a world of difference after Kawhi got hurt? They couldn't even score really consistently after Kawhi got hurt. Without Kawhi Leonard, I mean, no offense to San Antonio, but without Kawhi Leonard, that team is average at best. They got nice little pieces, but without Kawhi Leonard,
you're telling me an average best team at best beat Houston Rockets, an average team.
That's a whole nother story.
Well, I'm just asking.
They shouldn't even showed up that night, the Rockets. You know, they took that whole night off. I mean, that's something that would never, ever happen again.
Do you always tell me? Mm-hmm. He says, don't worry. Every team makes their run. Whether it's in the third or fourth quarter, they're going to make their run.
The Rockets didn't.
But you tell me, didn't you always tell me, teams are going to make their run?
9 times out of 10, every team eventually going to make some type of run when they're down by big.
It just so happens that was Golden State's run.
So you telling me if Kawhi wouldn't have got hurt.
Kawhi wasn't hurt.
That same outcome would have happened.
How are you saying no? Every team makes its run.
I understand that, but Kawhi, like he said, is their best offensive and defensive player. And when you take him out, I mean, he was shutting them down for the longest time. The game was running through him. And then to take him out.
So they played 9 games without Kawhi Leonard this year. Do you know what their record was?
What?
8-1.
Who do they face, though?
Like, we always they beat Houston in a playoff. I mean, come on. We talk about how Greg Popovich is so good and this and that. Well, here you go. Okay, listen. Now, did they miss somebody down the stretch, maybe San Antonio? Okay, I could see that. But they were going to make their run regardless. Now, I'm going to tell you, the biggest lead they would have had would have been 5 points, possibly. If the Spurs were going to win and Kawhi Leonard was there, it would have been 5 points or less they would have won by.
I disagree.
They're going to make that run. And for you to say that changed the series, there's no way. The end result is already predicted. There's already
so been it was a sure thing that Golden State was going to win regardless.
Regardless, not saying game one. I'm just talking about the series. It didn't change the series.
I mean, I was impressed that first half what San Antonio came out and did against Golden State. I'm like, man, maybe they can maintain this throughout the whole series and possibly even win this series.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
But see, that's what happens when you face a Cleveland or you face a Golden State. You think because you have a 20-point lead or they're outscoring them, you got to play the whole 48 minutes. Because once these boys on both teams decide, hey, let's click it on. Let's go full gear on these suckers. Before you know it, you're down. Within 7-8 minutes, you're down. Even though you have a – and I'm giving Cleveland the same credit. They're the same type of team that you have to play every second of that 48 minutes.
And I'm surprised how bad San Antonio – they were shell-shocked after Kawhi got hurt. They a lot better than that.
Patty Mills. Where the hell is Patty Mills?
Right, they had a 23-point lead. Even without Kawhi that late in the game, it was like probably, what, 5 or 6 minutes left in the third quarter when Kawhi went out. You up by, what, 23 points. You got to maintain that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like after Kawhi got hurt, the whole team just went shell shocked. Like, they just didn't know what to do. Like, they forgot how to play basketball.
What about you, Rich? You have anything to say about any of these issues we're talking about?
No, like I already said, it changed the game once Kawhi left. And
but did it change the series?
Yes.
It possibly did. I mean,
the
Spurs have a lot to come back from now. Being down 2-0, I mean, and it's all about Kawhi now. It's all about how the ankle's going to feel, how the ankle's going to hold up. And they don't play again until when?
Saturday. And there's no guarantee Kawhi going to play Saturday.
So you're saying the end
result
of the series would have been different?
Yeah, if Kawhi didn't get hurt.
The end result of the series?
I think so.
Because even if Kawhi got hurt and they won game one.
I gave the Spurs a chance. It's been like what he said. Whenever I saw that game and what they did to the best offensive team in the NBA, how they shut them down, kept them in the teens in the first quarter. I mean, that was amazing. Right there is just like, okay, this is Pop's defense. You know, he's playing really good. And Kawhi had 26 points before he left, before he got knocked out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think he would have added on to that? You don't think he would have kept his first going?
At least 40.
He would have got more points, but then that also would have subtracted Jonathan Simmons' points. Jonathan Simmons stepped up big, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But you know what I'm saying? You're saying Kawhi Leonard would have got these points. Yeah, but he would have subtracted from his other teammates' points. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I mean, he was shooting. He was making. What do you expect him to do?
But I really didn't see it was a big... big injury because he hurt. Why did Popovich had him still in there? You're up by 20 something points. But you had him in there. You saw three plays before him slip over his David Lee's own teammate.
Right.
Why he get his ass out of there?
What's gonna happen if you would have set his ass down after that? After he tripped over David Lee, that ankle would have tightened up. You want to keep playing on that ankle just to keep it loose.
Bad decision, just like Tom Thibodeau.
A bad decision?
Yeah, just like Tom Thibodeau did with Derrick Rose when he first fucked up his ACL.
That's an ACL. We're talking about a sprained ankle.
We're talking about ACL. He let him play. The game was done. The game was done.
On
he
ACL,
let him,
okay.
He
I,
let him
I agree
in the
with
fourth
that.
Quarter
I agree
with 2
with
minutes
that.
Left. Why would you keep letting him play?
I agree with the Derrick Rose one, but Kawhi Leonard, no. You keep him out there. Like I said, that ankle would tighten up real quick. Then what? You supposed to, you know, you stay running on it.
You
know,
you would have had him game two. That's what I know.
You would have had him.
I know that. You would
have. For
me,
it
would have
been all about game one. Let's get this game. At least get one of these in Golden State. Steal this home court advantage.
Game one,
and go from there.
Even if they won game one, the end result was the Golden State was going to win the series.
So you say, man.
I mean,
so you, say.
You know how much they were saying about Spurs losing game one against the Rockets? How many people say, oh, man, it's over. The Rockets, they beat the shit out of them. What was the end result? All right, next topic, guys. We got the Washington Wizards and the Boston Celtics, Game 7. John Wall versus Isaiah Thomas and an unsung hero, Kelly Olynyk. Mr. K.O. K.O., the hippie man himself.
The new dirty white boy.
Man, he came up big. He had 26 points, man. 14 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he snapped.
I mean, of all those people out of the reserves, I did not expect he was going to be the hero.
No.
But at the same time, I have to say, John Wall, he choked. If we're going to say...
Man, that's an ugly word.
I know it's an ugly word, but if we said James Harden choked, we got to say John Wall choked.
Yeah.
0-for-11 in the fourth quarter, bro. He choked. Now, granted, I have to admit, this was the biggest game he ever played in his professional career.
That's no excuse.
But at the same time, you couldn't ask for more from Bradley Beal. He had, what, 38 points?
Yeah.
He was balling.
Yeah, Beal balled. My thing with Wall though, especially if you know your jump shot not on. Why was he not attacking the basket? Why was he still trying to put up them damn threes, especially in the fourth quarter? I mean, the game wasn't out of reach yet in the fourth quarter, and this dude's still shooting up threes. I mean, you know you off, you cold, it's not your night. Attack the basket. Try to get a layup. Try to get a foul. Try to do something to help your team, other than constantly missing three pointers. So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say he choked. I wouldn't say he choked, but you know, he let his team down. He let, you know, the fans down and all that, but he'd be all right.
Rich.
I agree with you whenever you told me the first time, whenever we went to work the next day, I think he did choke. To miss that many shots in the fourth quarter, whenever everything's on the line, this is it. And I think he choked.
Especially when people are saying he's one of the top point guards in the NBA.
They're saying that he was the second best player in the East.
In the East, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. And you know he lightning quick. He could easily get to the basket.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think, okay, here's another question I just thought about. Do you think because he was on Isaiah Thomas the whole game, that kind of winded him? I mean, he was defending Isaiah Thomas the whole game.
That is.
Do you think maybe that kind
of
winded him? Because Isaiah Thomas is pretty damn fast.
Oh yeah,
John Wall is probably one of the fastest in the NBA.
Guarding him, throwing through picks and everything, trying to chase him down through the whole game.
Oh yeah, that definitely gonna wear on you a little bit, especially towards the end of the game.
Maybe is that why he didn't have that much wind to go attack the basket? But then again, supposedly he's a superstar, right?
And it's win or go home. it's an elimination game.
I think superstars don't have excuses. I mean, you see, you got to step up and you got to do this. You got to push through these times. This is what LeBron does. This is what the greats do. But sometimes,
Steph Curry, you're right. LeBron.
Why you bring up Steph? I mean, he said
just
greats.
Just piss you guys off.
All right,
man.
You said greats.
Just to
don't
piss
bring up
you
no damn Steph.
Off. Relax.
Four All-Star Warriors.
No. I'm just did it to piss you.
Just
guys
like James
off.
Harden.
Relax.
He's the face of Houston Rockets, and he just didn't show up in that game.
I know you're disappointed, but so basically we're saying is John Wall's a wizard because that motherfucker disappeared. So let's go. I know you asked some questions about the Houston land. So go ahead, Rich.
Rockets.
Go ahead about the Rockets.
So the Rockets.
I know you had some topics about the Rockets you want to get at.
No, it's just after the game, I don't understand why James Harden felt like after losing a game like that, the way he went out. And then he goes clubbing right after. Like, what's your view on that?
What my view is, I mean, it's different. Maybe he needed something to cheer him up. I mean, maybe he didn't want to go to reality in the outside world right away because he know as soon as he checks his phone, as soon as he checks anything outside, you know what I'm saying, other than in that club and having a good time, he was going to hear all this buzz around him, all this chatter. And I'm not going to – I could say he did choke, but at the same time, I have to admit, I put at least 40% on Mike and D'Antoni.
Even on that last game?
Even on that last game.
40%.
No.
40%. Yeah, it's 40%. A coach is going to flip his clipboard. You're supposed to rah-rah your goddamn team, not just your – that's
rah-rah.
What a coach – yeah.
These guys are making
Go.
Millions.
Go.
What the hell they need?
Oh my God!
What the hell they need cheerleaders for, man? Come on, man.
Ask Greg Popovich. If you go inside tracks, you see
this is win. This is win or go home. What you mean?
Yes.
What you mean motivation?
Are we surprised?
More motivation?
I was surprised about Mike and D'Antoni. He couldn't muster it with Phoenix. This is what happens. Great in the season, playoffs suck. He can't coach
but it can't,
to the elite
it can't,
level.
It can't be all on him because James has done this in the past.
I said 40%. 60%.
40%. Come on,
60%
man.
60% is on James Harden.
I think more than 60. Because James has fallen through in the playoffs before. That game against the Clippers, whenever we came back and we actually pushed it and we beat the Clippers, in that time, they sat Harden. Harden didn't even play. He was on the bench. We had our bench players out there, and they brought us back in that game. We had Corey Brewer. We had Josh Smith. They all brought us back into that game. I mean, this whenever the moment's huge, James just crumbles in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I know in the regular season, he's hit shots to win games against, like, the Suns and stuff like that, but in the playoffs, when it matters the most, he disappears. Whenever the pressure's on him with a couple minutes left to bring the team back, he disappears. He just crumbles.
He's not clutch.
He turns, though. He has turnovers. Oh, my God, man. There's just so much stuff that he did in the overtime in Game 5. Wasn't it Game 5? Yeah, Game 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
The overtime in that, and then Game 6, he just didn't even show up.
It's crazy how that carryover from Game 5 went into Game 6, though. You know what I'm saying? So...
You're talking about the series against the Clippers, how they came back and won with James Harden on the bench. Who was the coach? Exactly.
Kevin McHale.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
I'm talking about Mike D'Antoni. That wasn't D'Antoni who coached them back.
Oh.
I'm saying, but come on, man.
I'm telling you, it's the coach. I'm telling you. I'm not giving him the full blame, but I'm giving Harden about 60% of the blame. 40% is the damn coach, man.
Harden deserves more.
Because you're talking about at halftime, Harden had what? 4 personal fouls. No, 4 turnovers, 3 personal fouls, only 2 field goal attempts.
Mm-hmm.
How do you have more personal fouls and turnovers in a half than field goal attempts? You James Harden. You a superstar. Maybe even an MVP of this league this year. This is win or go home. You don't show up at all? I mean, I can't put that on the coach, man. He not out. I mean, like I say, man, that's on Harden, man. He got to be way more aggressive than that.
And then the press conference after the game, it's like he didn't even give a shit. He was like, yeah, you know, put everything on my shoulders. You know, put this loss on me. But we just got to move forward and go on. I mean, it's like he doesn't even give a shit. And then he goes out and goes clubbing right after that.
And he went to the strip club after the club.
You know what? With you saying that, and this kind of reminds me, I think something happened in that locker room before that game. Something must have happened. Somebody drugged him. No, I'm just saying something must have happened. He found out, or maybe the players gave him shit because he blamed him for losing Game 5 or whatever.
Yeah,
I won't be surprised
if he's that weak minded.
Thank you.
Wait! LeBron James did it. Don't even go there.
What LeBron do?
The last season of the Cleveland Cavaliers, that playoff run, he gave up, and the reason why is because what happened in that locker room.
He might didn't have
why
a.
He left. He to might. Go to
did,
Miami.
He might didn't have that's a good shooting game, but I guarantee you, that's he was why aggressive. He was out there playing.
He gave up, and that's why he left.
He wasn't walking around comatose.
Are you talking about that information?
Like Harden was.
Are you talking about that information you don't want to share with us?
So what was it?
Exactly. So it doesn't exist.
It does exist.
James Harden. The facts. James Harden needs to grow up. He's living like he's like new to the league or something. I mean, these are the times where you got to step up and grow the fuck up, man. Win the game. I mean, you had your chance in Game 5 and you blew it. And you don't even show up Game 6.
I mean, he is growing. I mean, it's not like he's doing.
Going to the strip club.
I mean, you act like he's doing. Partying. He act like he's immature. Like he'll pay, you know, like somebody, I don't know, $20,000 to go beat up somebody. You're acting like he's that immature.
Oh yeah, that's exactly how immature he is. That's exactly what he.
See
did.
How I rolled you in that next topic. But anyway, all right. So you know what this reminds me of, or what this all I'm hearing. All these quote unquote superstars aren't superstars. They're just stars. James Harden. What happened? He failed. He choked. Russell Westbrook. Same thing in the fourth quarter. He's not a superstar. He's a star. He choked. John Wall. Supposedly a superstar. No, just a star. He choked in the fourth quarter. So you've got one legit superstar, LeBron. And that's LeBron James. Okay? And then we can go back and forth about Golden State. Because they got more than just one weapon they could go to at the end. But
you're pretty much saying that a superstar is not allowed to have an off night. That's what you're saying.
Like that, though? It's going to happen.
Even to the greatest of all time. Even Mike hit an off game. Everyone.
To all of them. Like that.
You mean to tell me every player.
No, I'm talking about this year. All of them at the same time in the playoffs.
Man, shit happens. You know, you deal with it, you move on.
That's why I say
that's what James Harden said.
You did exactly. You know,
you're just missing that white hoodie. All right, let's talk about one last topic in the NBA, and it's the NBA draft. The Celtics got the number one pick. The Lakers.
The rich keep getting richer.
The Lakers got the second pick. 76ers got the third pick.
Mm-hmm.
And Phoenix is in the outside with the fourth pick. Man, that sucks. But anyways, who is the top prospect? I mean, honestly, if you were Boston, let's just ask this. If you guys were Boston, what would you do with that number pick? Who would you pick?
I would take that pick, and I would trade it.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, I wouldn't draft Lonzo Ball. But the other dude, what's his name? Markelle Fultz? Yes. I mean, but he's a point guard, though. You already got Isaiah Thomas. You know what I'm saying? I would take that pick and trade it. Try to get either a Paul George or a Jimmy Butler or even a Gordon Hayward. Think about Boston, man. You know, Boston's biggest problem this year is that their second best player is Al Horford. Yeah. You're not finna win a championship if Al Horford is your second best player. But if Al Horford was the third best player, think about Isaiah Thomas, Paul George, Al Horford. That's your big three. Then you got, you know, Kelly Olynyk, Marcus Smart. You got Jay Crowder. You got Jaylen Brown. You got a real nice supporting cast. Watch out for Boston. If they do the right thing with this pick, Boston's going to be something real next year.
I agree with Eric. I think they should trade the pick. I forgot who said it. Wasn't it Paul Pierce that said that?
Yeah.
Paul Pierce said they should trade that and get themselves another superstar. He brought up Gordon Hayward and Paul George, but they got a couple they can pick from if they want to. But they got that's what I would do. Get a player that's already proven. Don't start fresh with a rookie. Get somebody that's proven already. Paul George can come on the team and give you stuff. Jimmy Butler can come on the team and give you stuff. Gordon Hayward can come on the team and give you stuff. So that's what I would do. I would trade it.
So you wouldn't go set for the future. You have, like we all agreed, I think it was a podcast or two ago, that the windows are small. And you never know what's going to happen. Yeah.
And did you expect this from the Celtics beginning of the year? I did not expect this. I did not expect
it.
No.
The best record in the NBA.
The best record in the East. Would you ever thought that?
No.
So they already had a great year this year. No matter what happens in the playoffs, they had a great year this year. And build on that. Go get yourself another superstar. Bring him to the team and keep moving forward. I wouldn't start fresh with a rookie.
Because they got a team that could win now. They just got to do the right thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you want to keep up with Cleveland, you're going to need another superstar.
Mm-hmm. That's Paul George would love to get some payback on LeBron.
All right. That's it for the NBA, people. We're going to go right into the MLB. We got one topic in MLB. Derek Jeter, El Capitan.
El Capitan.
Guy inducted into the New York Yankee Hall of Fame. You know, he got his jersey retired. Got a little plaque.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts, gentlemen, on this day? It was celebrated on Mother's Day, and it's only been a couple months since he retired, honestly. What was it? September is when he officially retired.
They didn't put him in the Hall of Fame, but they did retire.
No, I mean the Yankee, you know? As far as the Yankee, not the MLB Hall of Fame, but the Yankee Hall of Fame, you know.
I mean, it's more than deserving. I mean, Derek Jeter is possibly the best shortstop. I say top three.
Player of all time?
No, shortstops. Oh, okay. Shortstops. Top three shortstops of all time. You know what I'm saying? It was definitely well deserved. I mean, and what did he play, like 20 some years? And he, you know, was always there, showed up every game, was rarely hurt.
Rarely hurt.
He had that longevity. Mm-hmm. You gotta respect
that. And he never had any allegations with drugs or anything, right?
No.
See, so
you know,
and that's
no,
the best
the right no way. Cloud, that's, no dark cloud over his head.
That's the best quality of this man. He was class personified upscale, throughout his career.
You know?
You know?
Yeah, class for sure. But definitely deserving. So big ups.
I'll go to you, Rich, too. And Alex Rodriguez, he did get an invite. He did not show up. You have anything to say about that?
They say A-Rod and Jeter won that tight. They was cool, but they weren't tight like that. He did get an invite. I think Jeter was just doing that to be nice. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Jeter didn't want him there. Mm-hmm. Okay. I got a feeling that I'm pretty sure Jeter didn't want him there. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I think it was kind of bogus though that A-Rod didn't show up. I mean, it was Mother's Day. They said he was with his mother during the day, but he was with J-Lo at night. So you gonna miss your boy for what they say, bros before hoes? Come on, man.
But this is J-Lo.
Yeah, come on. But he
could be
with J-Lo the next night and the next night. It ain't no one time. It ain't no one time thing with J-Lo. That's his. You know.
Well, I want to say, I want to say congrats to Derek Jeter on everything he's ever done. And I wish the Yankees could have got him a victory that night, but, I mean, they were facing the best team in the MLB. So, I mean, the Astros had to put him on them. They scored. They were up 8-0 within, like, the
So, the innings. Celebration was cut short from the ass beating the Astros gave him.
There you go.
But before they beat the Astros because game
barely.
One.
Like it was barely. And we won the series, so get that straight.
As my boy, Dominic Toretto said, a win is a win, no matter if you win a mile or an inch, a win is a win.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we won in a mile though.
It's only counted as one win.
As bad as we beat. And this comes from a salty Cub fan over here. How's your 500?
My Cubs have won three in a row.
You're barely over 500?
Aight, White Sox fan, keep talking.
Hey, we expect this from the White Sox.
What I tell you, recently, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Yeah, he said that, but he doesn't want to put extra money on that.
Wait. Let me just ask you a quick question since we're on the MLB here.
Go ahead, man.
So, do you still think the Cubs are going to win 108 games?
I said 105. Get to
you know what? Carr said the Astros will win 110. Wow. I don't even think that. Man, that guy's high or something. But
will
I want to talk about.
Will they win 100?
High 90s.
I got the perfect sound effect for that.
Close to 100. High 90s. Give or take. 100, give or take.
See, he talks about like having faith in the Cubs, but
I got faith in my team when they make the playoffs.
But you don't want to put that money on.
No,
you
know, it's
all about the playoffs. Yeah,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
Getting to that dance.
But I want to talk about Alex Rodriguez because they asked him. They're interviewing him, and they asked him like one of the media guys asked him about him not going, and he just dodged the question back and forth. He would just jump right over every time. I mean. I mean, every time he would just jump over and ignore the reporter.
Yeah, well, they were boys. They were tight. No. They had like a bromance. No, before Alex Rodriguez went to the Yankees, they had like a bromance when Rodriguez was in Texas doing the Texas Rangers
that
thing.
Sounds gay.
No, I'm being serious. It was like a bromance because they were doing everything together. Kind of like you and Rich always, go to the bathroom
That's my
together.
Boy, I ain't gonna say.
Whoa!
Right, you crossed the line with that one.
Nah, I'm just playing. But anyways, I got soaked up with that one too. I'm being for real though. They were like real cool. They were boys. And then before Alex Rodriguez came to New York, I guess he made a comment or something saying how Derek Jeter is just not that good or whatever. He just made some allegations that. Jeter wasn't that good. Anybody could do that on New York Yankees or something. I don't know exactly what the quote was. Uh-huh. But anything, stuff like that, he
Sounds
was saying.
Sounds like someone's talking out their ass.
Yeah, but that's what happened. Jeter didn't play that. And he was like, you know what? I'm done with you. You're going to talk shit about me. And we're supposed to be boys. Well, forget that. I know not to really talk to you like that. So then when he went to New York, they really didn't talk because they were just, whatever. But I don't blame Alex Rodriguez. I'd rather go, it was Mother's Day, and he had to spend it with his mom, and then after the day he spent with his mom, he had to go check out his mommy, J-Lo. Whoa, everybody! What is that? I didn't press the button. Is that you, Duplitz?
That could be me, dog.
What does that time mean, then?
Man, it is time for Rapid Reaction.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. I like that little intro. All right. Now, to start it, you got to say, let's go. And then I'll hit that button.
Let's go.
All right.
Dave, my boy Dave. First question is for you, man. It just came out about a week ago that Tom Brady, your boy Tom Brady, going to be on the cover of Madden 18. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, when we think about Madden, we think about the Madden curse.
Yeah.
You know, since 2001, 13 of the 16 players that's been on the Madden cover has missed at least half of the season. Mm-hmm. Should Tom Brady be worried about this curse?
Well, he's going to be number 14 because, just like his wife Giselle said, he's been having all these concussions in the past years. So, Father Time doesn't lose. I do see him being out.
Okay. My boy Rich.
What's up?
You know, it's being reported that Seattle is considering signing my boy Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, Russell Wilson, he played the whole season. Even though he played the whole season last year, he was still, you know,
he was having two, maybe three
different injuries that he was dealing with.
Yeah.
Their backup quarterback right now is Trayvon Boykin, an undrafted free agent from TCU.
Uh-huh.
Should Seattle think about signing Kaepernick?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't want to bring that drama to my team. I'd rather get Robert Griffin III, which is who else they're trying to, who else they're thinking about getting.
My boy Dave, right back at you, player.
Yes.
Beth Mowins,
mm-hmm.
Longtime play-by-play commentator,
mm-hmm.
would be the first woman to call a nationally televised NFL game when she announced the second game. Of week one, doubleheader, she's gonna be on the second game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she'd be the first woman in the NFL, in an NFL booth in a regular season since 1987. That's 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this a good idea?
Oh, yeah, it's a good idea. I mean, we got female reporters down the field. I mean, how dangerous is that? But seriously, you know, they got them all over now. And congrats to women, they deserve equal opportunity.
Damn.
No, not for women. That was your, that
oh,
was your
right.
time going
off.
I'm all for women. I'm all for women being in sports, okay? I don't want people to think that.
All right, Rich, man, my boy Antonio Brown.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's flashy. We all know that. He seems like the type that, you know what I'm saying, if he's going to do something, he's going to do it big.
Oh, yeah.
He just bought his 9-year-old son, a brand new Rolex. Now, is he doing too much, or do you agree with that?
Nah, he's doing way too much to get his son a freaking Rolex. How much a Rolex shirt? So expensive for a little kid that's probably going to mess it up. So I think he's doing way too much.
Back on you, Dave. Let me see. The Hall of Fame great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar recently came out and said he don't like the fact that these high school kids are going to college just for 1 year. You know, so he feel like they choosing money over, you know, basketball experience and a good education. You know what I'm saying? He said they pretty much using the college system as a stepping stone to the NBA. You know, do you agree with that?
I do agree with it, but at the same time, why do you have to say one and done? If they want to be in the NBA as soon as after high school, go into the D League. That's what it's used for. Use it.
Rich.
Yeah.
We just got to talking about this. You know, talking about Paul George and the Lakers and that number two pick.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's been reported that they might get Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
Or they can trade that pick, like we was talking about, and get like a Paul George or Jimmy Butler or something.
Yeah.
What would you do with that pick?
I would take Lonzo Ball, and I already have a feeling Paul George is going to sign with the team anyways in the offseason. So, that's what I would do. I would draft and then sign. You're just waiting for that.
Right back at you, Dave, man. Come on, dog. Here we go. I know you're a White Sox fan.
Don't say it too loud.
But I got a question about my Cubs for you.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, they've been up and down offensively this year. They haven't been consistent. I think the biggest problem is Kyle Schwarber. We all know he's a very good young talent. He's the leadoff man this year. He's batting 188. Power numbers are decent. 6 home runs, 17 RBIs. But he's hitting 188 as they leadoff hitter. Should they move him down that lineup?
Well, yeah, this is where we'll say they were going to miss Dexter Fowler. Dexter Fowler was there last year, was a good leadoff man.
Yeah.
Now they don't have him. They put Kyle Schwarber. Mix it up. Maybe he'll gain his confidence.
Last question for you, Rich.
Make it a good one.
Houston Astros.
Okay.
The scorching hot.
Scorching hot.
Houston Astros.
They're hot. Number one.
You know what I'm saying? They're killing right now. Right now, they projected to win 115 games.
Ooh, so Carr isn't crazy.
But in your opinion, how close would they get to that number?
I think they'll get. I think they'll get close enough. I think they'll get 100.
Within 10 games?
No, 100.
Exactly, 100.
100, between 100 and 105. There goes my 10 seconds.
All right, Eric. Rapid reaction, fellas.
Thank you.
All right, tribe members, if you had any rapid reaction questions you want to submit, go ahead and submit it, and we'll get them to on the next episodes. If you guys want to be involved, you know where to find us. Our next... last topic is going to be the MMA slash boxing. Mm. And reports just said that Conor McGregor signed a deal. Now it's up to Mayweather camp to see if they're good with the deal for this mega fight to happen. Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather. My question, guys, is this fight going to happen in 2017? Are they going to get this done?
Man, you talking about, they talking about Floyd might get what, $200 million?
That's what fight. He's asking, yeah.
I'm gonna say if that's his asking price, I'm gonna say nah. It's not gonna happen this year.
I don't think
he
so.
He said it has to be 9 figures.
Mm. Man, I mean, I'm gonna say no. I don't see it happening. I think it's just a media just to try to build up boxing a little bit. Yeah. I mean, we all know ain't no way in hell McGregor finna beat Mayweather.
But if he doesn't, if he gets 30% of 100 million, that's more than he ever made in UFC combined.
Yeah, but my thing is this fight really helping boxing? Because boxing ain't what it used to be.
No, not at all.
Has definitely fell off the map quite a bit.
But you'll have boxing fans when I say boxing fans, I mean people who don't like Mayweather. You're gonna have those haters wanting to see McGregor
fight.
Yeah,
boring fight.
No, they want to see somebody get a chance to knock him out. You know what I'm saying? Because they're saying, and then you're going to have UFC fans watch it because they're going to be like, oh, UFC is better. They have UFC fans saying, oh, UFC is better than boxing.
So you mean to tell me?
And it's more technical, so here we go.
You think McGregor, who is not a true boxer, going to knock Mayweather out? We talking about Canelo.
I'm saying,
wait. Put it on Mayweather.
What am I saying is.
McGregor going to do it. Come on,
what
man.
I'm saying is there's always a chance. We always say a puncher's chance, right? To everything. Well, he's a puncher. He's got
No, he's a grappler.
He's a puncher. He's got
a fighter. He's a street fighter.
But he's got some power in his punches.
If they was in that MMA
so
ring.
So all you need is one misread bad mistake on Floyd's part.
And that's the thing with Floyd. Floyd doesn't make mistakes.
I'm just saying, though, this is what... The haters, or whatever you want to call them, who are anti-Floyd, want to see and are always hoping whenever he's fighting. It hasn't happened in the past 49 fights.
No. Nah.
But they're hoping number 50, even though it's against Conor McGregor, they're hoping number 50, it comes through.
So is this fight going to happen, in your opinion? Is it going to happen this year?
I want to say late, if not early 2018. And the reason why I say it, it's just a smart business move on Floyd. I mean, the chances of him winning, chances of him making bank off of this, you know what I'm saying, is puro, man. It's good. You know what I'm saying? So, and plus, I think he wants to upstage Canelo and Triple G in the back of his mind because everybody's talking about this fight, Triple G and Canelo, being a mega fight. And everybody's more pumped up about this fight, especially after since the sleep fest that we saw from Pacquiao and
Chavez. Yeah.
No, Pacquiao and Mayweather.
Oh,
so he's
and that one. The one. Yeah,
the one the Chavez fight was a sleep fest too.
But
he's trying to upstage them because he's like, man, they're calling this the mega fight. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So the tension's off of him. He wants to kind of, I think, in the back, I'm not saying it has a lot to do with that. The thing has a little bit in the back of his mind. It's like, all right, I got to upstage them. And he knows this would upstage as far as money-wise.
Yeah, money-wise, but talking about a mega fight, Canelo and GGG are the mega fight because this is just a joke. It's like, you already know that Mayweather's going to win.
I'm not saying Mayweather's going to lose, but I'm saying there's always a puncher's chance.
And let me ask you guys this. Do y'all think that this is losing a little bit of steam, how long they're taking? Do you think it's losing a bit of steam? Like, when it first came out, everybody was... Oh my God! This, you know, McGregor versus Mayweather, but now I mean it's just taking forever for them to get the numbers right. Do you feel like the fight will lose steam if they wait till next year?
No, it won't because McGregor and Floyd Mayweather are both good at publicizing stuff. They're both good at entertainment.
Yeah, but they'll hype it up again.
They'll hype it up again. Right now, they're not hyping it up because it's in negotiations. But once it's all set, 2 months before it happens, they'll do something to hype it up. They'll have statements from McGregor. They'll have statements from Floyd. They'll have, you know, Facebook Live stuff.
They might even have an altercation.
Oh, yeah. Just to amp it up. They're both very intelligent as far as how to entertain people and to get that market value up.
Now, Dave, you said you're going to buy the Triple G versus Canelo fight.
Uh-huh.
Would you pay money for this fight?
I don't know. Depends on the...
Mayweather? Hell no.
I mean...
You wouldn't pay for it,
Mayweather,
right?
McGregor? Hell no.
See?
But I'm saying, though, you will have so many anti-Floyd Mayweather people out there who will buy this. You will have UFC fans who are diehard UFC fans who thinks UFC is better than boxing and for this match to prove it, that fight's gonna definitely sell. You know what I'm saying? It's going to sell. You know, me and you might not buy it because we actually want to see a real good boxing match.
Yeah, like Triple G. You know what I'm saying? Canelo. Yeah.
But you will have people buy it. You will have people go into the bars and be like, I'm not going to buy it for $80 or $90, but I'll pay $5, $10.
Like Buffalo Wild Wings, I'll pay $10. It's going to be packed.
Yeah, I'll pay $10 and get a couple. I mean, it's going to sell.
The arena is going to be packed. Oh, yeah, it's going to definitely sell. I feel like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not excited about this fight now. I'm not going to be excited about it a year from now.
I will like to see what, you know, entertainment stuff they're going to do for the pre-amp fight. You know what I'm saying? You know
that's going to be better than the actual
fight.
That's
what I'm saying. That's going to be extra better than the fight. I'll be watching that.
As far as the fight, I'm not looking forward to that.
All right, people. I think that's all we have for today's podcast. Thank you for joining us, Tribe members. We truly appreciate it. Please, we want you guys to get involved. We want you guys to Facebook Live us or whatever you want. You guys want? There was a fan who wanted us to post something up. He's a big Boston Celtics fan.
Yeah.
And we're going to post up on our website or our Facebook and Instagram.
It happened yesterday.
Oh, it did? Or you already did? Okay. For the Boston Celtics. Yeah. I don't think yesterday was a good day to do that. But
after that stopping.
But we appreciate that, man. That was a good hype video. I did watch it. It was pretty good. You guys want us to post stuff like that?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
If you guys have any content or anything you want us to post for you guys, you know, just send it our way. We'll give you credit and everything.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this Celtics video this guy made, I mean, it was top-notch. You saw it, Dave, so... I mean, he did a great job on it.
Appreciate, guys. You know, we want you guys to be more involved in here. You know, not everybody's opinion is the same.
No.
That's what we're talking about. Uh-huh. So we want everybody's opinion. Rich, where can they find us at?
On Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, it's at The Tripod. And if you want to contact us through Gmail, it's thetribecast16@gmail.com.
All right, Tribe members. That's it for my man, Rich.
Thank you guys for listening.
With my man, Eric.
All right, Tribe people.
All right, everybody. I'm Dave Love. Dream big, live bigger. Peace.